And it is good to be in the house of God. And please remember the announcements. And please take, keep your heart in tune with heaven, but keep your eyes open for the opportunity that God will place in your path this week to speak about the Lord, to talk about the goodness of God. Someone, no doubt, the Lord will bring by, and so be ready to give a good word for the Lord. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture to begin with tonight, found in the 18th chapter of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 18. I'm going to read just one short verse from the Bible. Verse number 20. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." While Jesus was with the disciples yonder in Caesarea Philippi, before he was crucified, had his disciples gathered around him, and they were talking about the end time and whatever, and he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want everyone to understand, the gates of hell have tried their best to destroy the church, but it will not prevail. The church is going over to the other side. Although there are lots of theories and a lot of doctrines and a lot of philosophies of which religion is the true religion and which church is the true church, the truth is every born-again believer, everyone that's been saved by the blood of the Lamb, everyone that's been redeemed by the blood and is now walking in the light, every one of those are members of the family of God and a part of the blood-bought church. Saved, walking in the light of God's Word, whether a man, woman, boy, or girl, if they are doing that, if they're living that kind of life, they are a member of the Lord's church that He promised to build. We sing that chorus, "I'm so glad I'm a member of the blood-bought church," and surely I am tonight. Then, in the verse that I've read, I'm going to read it one more time. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." I have a Scofield Bible that I'm using to preach, read the Scripture from tonight, and he has a heading at the top of those verses, "The simplest form of a local church." When there are two or three gathered together in the name of the Lord to worship Him, to learn of Him, to praise Him, he said, "I will be there." And I want to make a statement tonight, and it is more than just two or three getting together. It is more than just coming together for any purpose. It is really coming together in the name of the Lord to worship. Now I'm going to give an illustration. In July the 19th, 1959, July the 19th, that is over 52 years ago, my wife and I were called into the ministry and started a church in a new town in a scout house. I'm not going into detail, but it was nothing to look at, but it was the only building available for us to have services. It cost us $2 every time we had service. It was not a coliseum. The Bible says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." I can tell you that on that first Sunday, there were five of us adults and seven children for the Sunday school. The next Sunday, we had 20. Never went below that anymore. But I know the Lord was there because on the second Sunday, a lady by the name of Mara got saved. Jesus has to be in the midst for somebody to get saved. On the third Sunday, a woman by the name of Wanda got saved. How do I know the Lord was there? When somebody gets saved, brother, the Lord is there. And oftentimes we might look around and feel like, "Well, where are you, Lord?" I want to share this with you tonight. God has been with us every time, whether there's two or three or five or ten or whatever, the Lord has been with us every time we've met together in His name to worship Him. Let me give you one other statistic. It was in February of 1976 that this church had its first service in the store building on Huntington Avenue. And I can tell you from that time until even tonight that God has been good. I do not have the records. I do not know how many services we've had. But if we counted every Sunday morning and every Sunday night from February 1976 until tonight, it would have been over 5,600 services. And I said that to say this. And He has been with us in every service. How do you know, preacher? Because He said He would. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in their midst. And as we read the Scripture tonight, He's made the promise. I preached on the first Sunday of this year about those in the Bible that made a promise to God, that made a resolution to God. The psalmist said, as he resolved in his heart that he was going to be a student of the Bible, Jacob promised and made a vow to God that he would be a tither. And Daniel made a vow and committed his life to the Lord, saying, I will live a holy life. And as I thought about that and what God has promised to us, He has made a promise that He would be with us every time we met together. And I'll just throw this out tonight, and then I'm going on in the sermon. I believe this with everything that I've got, whether it is a two or three, whether it's a latest prayer meeting on Tuesday morning with a handful, or whether it's in a mega church with thousands of people. If we're gathered together in the name of the Lord is there. We have been in some large meetings. One was in England. Several were in England, but one time was in the Royal Albert Hall in London, and another time in other places, but in great meetings and large meetings and a lot of people. And I want you to know tonight that God makes Himself real when people get together in mega churches, if they come in the name of the Lord, if they come to worship the Lord, and whether there are two or three or four in a home or in a church or wherever that's come together in the name of the Lord, God said, I will be there, and I want to say thank you, Lord, for being always there. Never failing us one dime. That ought to be an encouragement to everybody that names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we might be, He promises to be there. And as you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, anywhere in between the Word of God, there are two things that stand out. Oh, there's a lot. I just picked out two things. One is that God loves you. You can read from Genesis to Revelation, and from the first chapter to the last chapter, you can find God loves you. And the second thing is, not only does God love you, but God loves to fellowship with you. God loves to be with His people. God loves to come in our midst and to bless us, that we might be a blessing. God loves to have fellowship and communion with those of His children. The Bible tells me in the first chapters of Genesis that after He had made Adam and Eve, that He enjoyed going into the garden in the cool of the day and fellowshipping with Adam and Eve. They had the right spirit. They had the right attitude. They were in love with God. God was in love with them. They had a wonderful time together. But the Bible says when they disobeyed God and when they sinned, how that fellowship was broken. There was a separation like we mentioned in Bible study. Sin separates. And from that day until today, it has been God's desire to have man restored so that they can have fellowship. That's why He knocked at your heart's door and mine, inviting us to come and be saved so that He could have fellowship with us. Brother Jones, did He love us before we got saved? Yes, sirree. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved you and me when we were unlovable as far as this world's concerned, but He still loved us. And He loves to have fellowship with His children. Two things that you can see stands out in the Word of God. From the day of the dawning of mankind on this earth with Adam and Eve until tonight, God desires to have fellowship, and that's why He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross. That is why Christ came and left the splendors of heaven and left it all behind and came to this earth in the form of a man and was ridiculed and mocked and laughed at. That's why He died on the Calvary's cross, that we might have fellowship one with another and with the Lord Jesus Christ, that fellowship might be restored. Listen again, if I can get this across tonight, He died that you and I could be brought close to Him. Get a picture in your mind. Every one of us were far removed from the Lord. Sin separated us, far removed from the Lord. And He knocked at our house door and invited us to come. The Spirit of the Lord invited us. And then He helped us and gave us courage and boldness to step out. That was one purpose for God to save us. He wanted to save us and redeem us and all the rest of it, that we might once again have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? Do you think we take it too lightly sometimes? Do you suppose we come to the house of God? Sometimes we have the final benediction and we dismiss and we go home and we have not even thought about who the guest was. Jesus said, when you come together, I'll be there. Wouldn't it be something if you would open our spiritual eyes? See him Monday night walking down that aisle. What do you suppose you would do? Think about it. He's here. He said he would be here. We'd come in the name of the Lord. Let the people pray before the service began. Around these pews, they were sitting up in the altar to pray. People bowing their head in the congregation in the pew praying. And we come in the name of the Lord. And the Lord said, every time you do that, look around, I'll be there. He's here. Or where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Will you turn in your Bibles to the 46th chapter of Psalms? 46th chapter of Psalms. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. This is a good chapter. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. I want to mention the first verse. God is our refuge and our strength. Actually, the writer to the psalm here in the 46th chapter is speaking of the children of Israel. And the children of Israel were not the church in the wilderness, but they were a type of the church in the wilderness. And the Bible tells me that in that very time, that this writer is talking about the children of Israel as a nation, they were the called out ones. And the called out ones in the New Testament is the ecclesia, and the ecclesia is the church. And in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were the called out ones. And in the New Testament, the church is the called out ones. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Listen closely tonight. We are the church of the living God. And then in that 5th verse, he said, God is in the midst of her. Let me read it again. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early, God is in the midst of her. He delights to be with His people, that He might bless them, that He might strengthen them, that He might encourage them. The Lord has come for a purpose. He's come to bless your life. He's come to lift you up. You don't even have to wait till all the services are closed when we gather up. I believe when you come to pray early, I've been told that the Lord just comes and bless you. Just lift you up.
You feel like underneath of the everlasting arms and you're lifted to a higher place. And Paul said we are made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing? You can sit on that pew at the same time be in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. What a Savior. What a mighty God. What a blessed Redeemer. I would like to give an illustration. God is our refuge and strength. And then he says, God is in the midst of her, and he will be there to bless and to help. And that right early. I want to take the children of Israel to begin with as an example. I want everyone tonight to realize that when God sent Moses from the wilderness back to Egypt to be the deliverer of the children of God and gave him instructions as how to go to Pharaoh and all the rest, I want everyone to understand tonight that God was with his people in Goshen the night of the Passover. I believe when that time came and the death angel passed over the land and the children of Israel had obeyed the Lord and they were prepared and they were ready and they'd eaten the roasted lamb and they were ready to march out. They had the hats on, they had the shoes on and the coats on and they were ready to go. I want everyone to know tonight when they began to march out of Egypt, out of the land of Goshen, God was with them. When they came down to the Red Sea and it looked like as if they would be destroyed by Pharaoh's army, I want you to know that it was God that was with them that opened up the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. Amen. And when they got on the other side, the Lord did not go back to Egypt, but the Lord went with them on the other side. When they got on the other side and came to a place where the waters were bitter, or there was no water, the Lord was still with them, and they got water out of the rock, and they got manna out of heaven, and God would tell them, in the wilderness, God was with them.
Thank you, Lord.
40 years. You said, Brother Jones, how do you know? I read the book of Exodus. There came a time when God said, you're on your own. Moses prayed. And said, God, please go with us. Because of their disobedience and what have you. Please go with us. And he said, oh, my spirit or something. We need you, Lord. God has to do other things. And finally, God, the Lord said to Moses, my presence will be with you.
Amen.
I will go on with you. And for 40 years, he was in the midst of them in that wilderness. Miracle after miracle after miracle. It came down to the time when Moses was called to the top of Mount Nebo to die. And when Moses died and God buried him on the top of Mount Nebo, I want everyone to understand tonight, God did not forsake Israel. God was still the God of Israel. When Moses did not come down from the mountain, God did. Joshua now is the holy leader of the children of Israel. When they came to the Jordan River, God was with him. He led the priest to take the ark and step out into the waters. And the Lord was there and rolled back the waters. And they walked across from dry ground. Listen to this. And when they got over into the promised land and they faced the city of Jericho, the Bible tells me that the Lord was still with them. And when they faced Jericho, the walled city, all the armies of Jericho. The Bible tells me that God was there and God gave the victory and they did not have to fire one shot. And they have no record of them losing one man. Isn't that amazing? God gave a city to Israel without even having to fire one shot or losing a man because God was with them. You know what we do sometimes? We fret and fuss. And all the times God said, just let me have it. Mm-hmm. We worry about what we're going to do and how we're going to do it and how's it going to work out. And if we believe the Lord is with us, don't you know that he's able to help us?
That's right. That's
right. We might be going sometimes through some rocky roads, and you have. Everyone knows that. And it seems like everywhere you go, there's something that'll trip you up. Sometimes we even feel as if, am I going to be able to make it? Can I make it to the other side? Can I make it to the gate of that city? And the Lord said all the time, why, Cliff, I'm with you.
That's right. That's right.
Hold my hand.
Amen.
Hold my hand. through the Bible. I know that I could not give them all, but I, in preparing the sermon, trying to understand, trying to find out, trying to know, trying to give some illustrations about God saying, where two or three are gathered together in my name, up there am I in the midst. And then another scripture that's saying, for God said, I will go with you always, even to the end of the age. I want everyone to leave here tonight knowing that you are not alone. You're not fighting your battles alone. You're not in this thing by yourself. You have God on your side. And with God on your side, you're going to be victorious. Hallelujah. We're going to make it to the other side. Can you say amen tonight? Do you believe it tonight? We're going to make it. I went through the Bible. I left out a lot of those, I know, but I jotted some down and I would like to just go through the list. Before I began, I want to give you again one of my favorite verses in the Bible that has been mine ever since the night I was called to preach. And it just fit right here, so I want to use it one more time. Isaiah 41:10. God's saying this. He's saying it to you. He's saying to me, fear thou not. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Have there been some times when you were sort of fearful? That's what was out there. Fear thou not. Listen to this. For I am with thee. Don't you jot it down. Find that in your Bible and put your name there. That promise is unto you. Then to know the Lord, Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'll be there, the Lord said. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. I'll love with you. I love you. I'm not going to let you alone. I'm not going to let you go by yourself. I will be there with you. Brother, that's something to rejoice about. I want to go back to the first of the Bible. Show you how that God has been there. When God called Noah to build the ark, a righteous man in his generation, when he called him to build the ark, during those years of building and preaching, there was a lot of ridicule and mockery, no doubt, of the unbelieving people. But God was with Noah and gave him sufficient grace to keep on preaching and keep on building. And because of that, he saved his family. Listen closely. God was out there wherever it was that Noah built the ark. God was with him. I read on in the book of Genesis and found that Abraham had to take a trip. That was a difficult trip. God said, take your son Isaac, your son of promise, go to Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, put him on an altar and offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham obeyed the Lord and had the knife in his hand. And the Lord told him, Abraham, I know that you have faith. And God gave a substitute for Isaac. God was there. I walked and thought. God asked Abraham to do something that was hard. But if God asks you to do something hard, he'll be there to help you do it. There were some things when we were growing up, my daddy believed that if it doesn't kill a gun boy to work. And we never heard about a young boy having a psyche. Or it's like it'd be bit. Now, I know my daddy didn't know anything about it. And so there was some work to be done. And sometimes it was hard. But as long as daddy was there to help us and show us, when we bought the house in 1939, not just 8 years old, daddy got two hatchets. And we had a friend. Thank the Lord for friends that will help you work. He thought it was plain, maybe, but thank the Lord for it. We had myrtle bushes, if you know what they are. They grow about that big around, and maybe 8 feet high, 6 feet high. And about an acre or a half acre of the field that Daddy had when we bought that house was covered. And Daddy wanted to make a garden out there, and we would have cut down every one of those myrtle bushes. I don't know if that's the reason why the name of it. And we had those hatches. Daddy would show us how to really use it and keep them sharp. My daddy was a believer, if you're going to hoe, get a sharp hoe. You're going to have to get a sharp hatchet. The work is a whole lot easier. And so Brother Tanner was there to help with that. As he got a story and Walter Horton, a friend came over and had him a hatchet and a load and us, but thank the Lord for Walter.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying God said, I'll be with you. And for Abraham, on that mountain ready to sacrifice his son, God was there with him. When I found about Moses in the book of Exodus, I found that when he arrived at Mount Sinai, and God called him to the top, God met him there. God was with him and gave him the Ten Commandments. And the reason for the Ten Commandments was to give them an outline of how they were to live. And God's given us a word in the Bible how we are to live. And if we'll obey God's word, we can live in victory. If we disobey God's word, there'll be trouble ahead. But I'm glad tonight that everything that God tells us to do, His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. It's good to serve God. Amen. Moses was told how the people live. I go on with Joshua. When they got across to Jericho to that fortified city, as I've already mentioned, I came on to Samuel and I found the man by the name of David in the valley of Elah as a young man when he had his sling in his hand and the giant of the Philistines out there across the valley and he went out to face him. I want you to know that David did not go by himself. David did not go in his own mind, in his own ability. He went in the name of the Lord. And if you go in the name of the Lord, God will go with us. As a boy, isn't it amazing the things you can remember? As a boy in Sister Pope's Sunday school class, the card class, I can remember the pictures. You have a picture on the front, and you have some verses on the back as little fellows. Picture of David with a sling. I have been this Goliath, a tall Goliath, some 9 feet high. Tallest man I've ever met in my life was 8'3". At one time he was the tallest man in the world. He's dead and gone now. I don't remember the tallest man, but Goliath, way up down there, and David goes out, and the reason that I'm saying this tonight, God has said, I will go with you. Yes. And when David had slain the giant, he went and took the sword out of his hands and cut off his head and held it up, and when he did, don't you know that was victory in the camp of the Israelites? Hallelujah. It was not the power of David. It was not the ingenuity of David. It was not because he was so good with a sling. It was because God was with him. Hallelujah. Thank God. And He's promised to go with me. And you. I went on through the Bible. I came to a man by the name of Elijah. He was engaged in a showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And the time came, if he doesn't have the fire come down out of heaven, if God doesn't answer his prayer, he's a goner, he's a dead man. The prophets of Baal will put him to death. If he prays and there is no fire, then they will believe that his God is not real. And when Elijah prays and fire comes down, I say this tonight, they had a awakening in the area. Why did God come down? Because God was in the midst. God was with him. I went on to Jeremiah. We don't hear a lot about this, but Jeremiah finds himself in the dungeon of the king. He will die. There's nothing there but water and mud and mire. If he's there, then all you'll die. Son came and said to the king, could we get him out? And they threw some rags down and told him to wrap them under his arms and they lifted him out. Listen closely. It was more than the eunuchs of the king. It was a man, it was God on the scene that was there to help him out. I thought about Daniel. Daniel was thrown into the dungeon of lions that were hungry. But God, the Bible says God was there and he shut the mouths of the lions. And they did not try to attack Daniel. In fact, I really believe that Daniel got a good night's rest. In the midst of lions that were hungry. How do you know they were hungry? Read the next verse or two. When the men that cast them in were cast in themselves, they were torn apart before they even reached the bottom. The lions had devoured them. Why? Did I read that? Because God was with Daniel. And if God was with Daniel, God would be with us.
I read on in another chapter of Daniel how the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace because they dared to stand up, because they had made a resolution. They made a vow to God. We will serve the God of heaven, and we're not going to bow to the gods of this world. Give us more young people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, you know the story. God said, I'll be with you. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be with them. Look around, stand right. There he is.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. And the Bible says when they came out, there was no smell of smoke on their garments.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Man. Somebody can maybe have smoked yesterday. Come where you are and doesn't smell of smoke.
That's true.
But those with God, that's a different story. I read on. I came to the New Testament. I found that there came a time when the people were in the upper room and God had called his son back to heaven. Jesus had ascended into the heavens and said, when I go back to the Father, I will send the Holy Ghost. He will not only be with you, but he will be in you. And when they began to pray, the Bible says the Holy Ghost came and filled that house where they were seated, and they filled their hearts and their lives, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Listen closely. God was not down the street. God was not up the street. God was in the upper room with them, filling them, anointing them, blessing them. Amen. God was with them. I read another chapter, Peter and John thrown in jail. The Lord was with them. And in the middle of the night, God delivers them out of the jailhouse. And they come forth freely. And in the fourth chapter of Acts, they go to a prayer meeting in a house, in a college prayer meeting. And when they had prayed, when they got there, the Bible says the house was shaken where they were assembled. And the Holy Ghost began to move. Why? God was there. Thank the Lord. I read about a man called Stephen. Holy Ghost filled deacon. He has testified and given his defense. And they were ready to kill him. Now they drug him outside the city and preparing to stone him. This is a paraphrase. Stephen looked up and he said, I see heaven opened. And I see the Lord standing at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Standing. When he went to heaven, he sat down. Now he's standing. Why? Here's the first deacon to be put to death as a martyr, and the Lord is standing, and I believe with his hands outstretched, welcoming him, getting ready to welcome him home. Let me leave this with you tonight. The Lord said, I'll be there. It took the mercy and the grace of God for Stephen to die like Stephen died.
Yes, right.
Not bitter. It wasn't easy with the stones being thrown at him and coming at him and the breath leaving his body and he's dying. All this going to live. He's saying, Father, forgive them. Let me tell you something. God will give you grace in the darkest hour of your life. God was with Stephen. Then I come to the last book of the Bible. To John. And all the other apostles are dead. They have been martyred. All except Judas. And Judas took his own life. Here is John. Out on the Isle of Patmos. He's preached. He had been with Jesus. He was been in the inner circle with James and Peter. He's been on the mountain with the Lord in the Mount Transfiguration. He's been close to the Lord at the supper, the Last Supper. He's been with the Lord at Caesarea Philippi with just that band of disciples. And they had a close fellowship. There have been so many times that Jesus was with Peter, with John, and John was with Jesus. When it came down to the last night of Jesus' earthly life on this earth, he went out into the garden, and Jesus said to the disciples, stay right over here. I'm going over yonder to pray. Peter, you and James and John, come with me. And they came a little closer, and he turns and say to those three, you stay right here. I'm going over yonder to pray. I'm not going through the whole story tonight, but this is what I want you to know tonight. When they were going through a terrible time, and the mob came and arrested Jesus, and the Roman soldiers took him and they led him away, and the disciples scattered. I want everyone to know tonight that the Lord was still there. While Peter was standing by the fire and denied the Lord that even knew him, where was the Lord? He was there. And something pricked his heart. And Peter realized I've done a terrible thing, and he went out crying out to the porch and began to weep before God. I'm sorry. I would like to leave this with you tonight. It's not in my notes, but it just came to me. Our God forgives, and He does not hold any grudges against us. Hallelujah. 50 days later, when the Holy Ghost was to be sent down from heaven, and the Holy Ghost filled that room, and they all filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. God was there. He could have picked up John and said, "John, you should preach. James, I want you to preach. Levi, I want you to preach." You know what he did? He touched Peter. Peter, the one that denied him. The one that said, "I don't even know him." The one that cussed with an oath. Now forgiven. God does not hold any grudges. When God forgives, He will never remember him against us anymore. And he reached out his hand and asked him, he said, "You're the man, Peter. I want me to preach." And Peter preached the first Pentecostal sermon. 3,000 got saved in a day. What a Savior, what a mighty God. Now I come to the last book of the Bible. John the Revelator. I mentioned how they did to Jesus. How they pastored in Ephesus. Paul has been put to death. John is trying to carry on the ministry. Trying to oversee the churches. Trying to be a help. He writes 1st and 2nd and 3rd John in our Sunday school lessons that we've been studying recently. He's written the Gospel of St. John. Now he's on the Isle of Patmos for having preached the Gospel. He's been persecuted. He's been exiled. He's out there in Tyre on a rocky island out down there in the Aegean Sea. Right off the Mediterranean. Left him die. While they thought he was going to die, he wasn't alone. God came. Have you ever felt as if you were alone? And while you're praying, you realize, I'm not alone. He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. On the Isle of Patmos, for having been faithful to God, God opened his eyes and gave him a vision. Gave him a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of the end time. He was there. The Lord was with him. Now I'm going to close in a moment and we're going to pray. And this is so important for us because I do not know how much longer. I do not know what the church will face. And that's a good thing that I don't know. And a good thing you don't know. It might be worse than we can imagine. Some people have gone through something to serve the Lord. I don't know what the future holds. I know one thing, in America we have been blessed. Yeah. We have had very, very, very little persecution. There are some today in the realms of elected officials, and that there is something about anything about the church is wrong. If a child picks a New Testament of the church, that cannot be. We got to separate church and state. Brother, that's far removed from what our family fathers believe. But we've come to that day. I don't know what the future holds. As my wife comes to the piano, I'm going to give you a word straight from God. From God's word. Whatever happens, whatever comes out of us Christians, God will be with us. When we doubt how many churches have been burned down, they said in Egypt we'll give religious freedoms. The man that was on trial was in charge of the land, and the Muslim Brotherhood is going to take over. And they have burned the churches down in Egypt, in Cairo. They burned Christian churches down. Same thing in Israel. Right now, did you know the Arabs are deciding whether we're going to send an army? The Arabs send an army to Syria because Syria is sending so many of their own people. That the Bible has an uprising. Warfare. They're rising up in Iran. We are on the verge of something in Iran when they have played games with us trying to shut down the Strait of Hormuz where so much of the world of water goes through the Strait of Hormuz and they have shut it down to shut down the economy of the world. We are on the verge of war. But listen closely. Whatever happens, God's with us. God will be with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you, Lord. I am with you always, even in the name of the age. Tonight, we're going to sing a chorus, honey. Can't remember the number, and just see his ear. I leave this with you, and we're going to just pray and worship God. Thank God. He's been so good to us. I said, we've been together over 5,600 times in the bundle of our time. That many years. And I can say unto you, according to the word of God, he's been with us every time. And he's not going to save us now.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He's here. Amen. We're going to sing. We're going to worship God. I feel tonight it would be good just to worship God.
Hallelujah.
Just to worship God. Too many times, we have complained about being alone when he was close by, and we didn't want us. We were going through a hard place, but he was right there. We cried, and we prayed, and we didn't understand the things, but he's been there. We stand together. He is here, hallelujah.